Good morning. We'll call the Sussex County Council meeting of January 21st, 2014 to order. First thing will be approval of the agenda. Mr. Lawson.
Thank you, Mr. President. At this time, we can amend the agenda to strike Jewel Gibbons, project engineer. And I have no other recommendations.
Entertain a motion to approve the agenda as amended.
Second.
Motion, Mr. Cole. Second, Mr. Wilson. Any questions? Take a vote, Mr. Cole.
Yes.
Mr. Phillips.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried. We had the minutes of January 14th. Any corrections or concerns there? Hearing none, they'll stand approved. Correspondence, Mr. Moore.
Mr. President, there is none.
Any correspondence from council? Hearing none, we'll move on. Next, Mr. Lawson.
Thank you, Mr. President. First item on the agenda this morning, we are joined by Austin Short, the Deputy Secretary of Agriculture. We've asked Austin to come down and give us an update on the Delaware Agriculture Lands Preservation Program. Mr. Short, welcome. Thank you for being here.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning.
For a while,
right? That's right. I have a very brief presentation review with you, and certainly if you have questions at any time during the presentation, please feel free to let me know. And also at the end of the presentation, certainly have questions, we discuss them as well.
Are you Austin Short Jr.?
I'm the third.
So be your father.
That's right. Yeah. Live out 5 miles outside of Georgetown.
So
there is a PowerPoint, but
we'd love to see a PowerPoint.
It's there.
Just I think you also have a handout as well, which is the same.
How is your father?
He is well. I was working with him last night, taking a clutch out of an old International U9 power unit, so still got grease on my fingers. So, in his sawmill.
That's
so
good stuff.
It's nice to be local, isn't it?
You got grease under yours, too?
It's a plus. It's a plus. And just,
it is a plus. The other ones don't have any rights.
All right. Again, I'm Austin Short, Deputy Secretary of Ag. Thank you for the opportunity to talk about ag lands preservation. You may remember Mike McGrath. Mike ran this program for many years very successfully. Mike retired about 2.5 years ago, and then his duties as overseeing the ag lands preservation program were combined with my duties as Deputy Secretary. So since about July of 2011, I've overseen the Farmland Preservation Program. Again, very brief slides here for you today to give you an update, and then certainly we entertain questions along the way or at the end. Aglands Preservation Program was established in July of 1991. It has a board of trustees appointed by the governor. Two of those members are here today. Mr. Vanderwin represents Sussex County. There's a farmer from each county. And also Alan Messick, representing the Farm Bureau. He's also from Sussex County. The Ag Department administers the program. It was initially funded in July of 1995, 4 years after it was established. It's a voluntary program. Folks sign up on their own. And there's an aside, as Mike McGrath would always point out if he were still here, Delaware ranks as one of the top states in farmland preservation per capita and funding spent per capita on farmland preservation. Briefly, the criteria to get into the program, you must meet the Farmland Assessment Act. That's Title 9, Chapter 83 of Delaware Code. It basically says you have to show gross receipts of $1,000 per year on the property. If it's over 10 acres, if it's less than 10 acres, it must be $10,000 of gross receipts per year. That's not net, that's gross receipts. No subdivision recorded on the property, zoned for agriculture. Minimum land evaluation site assessment score, which the acronym is LISA, of 170 out of 300. LISA basically establishes as a scoring system to try to judge the long-term viability of that farm. LE, land evaluation, stands for soil quality. Site assessment stands for what's going on around the property. How much land's preserved around it, how large is the farm, how much investment's on the farm, that sort of thing. Properties over 200 acres enrolled as an ag district that actually requires county approval through planning and zoning. Properties under 200 acres enroll as an expansion to an existing ag district, and those expansions must be within 3 miles of an existing district, and they do not require county approval. And basically at this point, since the program has now been in effect since 1991, basically anywhere south of the canal is within 3 miles of an ag district. So if you bring in a property less than 200 acres, you're assured of being within 3 miles of an existing district south of the canal.
Are you encouraging the creation of a new district if somebody comes in with 250 acres?
We still go through the process. There's been some discussion, is it really still needed? But it's still on the books as the law, so we still go through that process. Okay. And we still get requests for properties over 200 acres. I will say the bulk of which are less than 200 acres, but we still get some for over 200 acres. Restrictions must be used for agricultural use, as you would expect, crop production, timber production, livestock, etc. There is housing allowed on the property. You're allowed 1 acre for residential use for every 20 acres that you enroll in the program, up to a maximum of 10 acres. So if you bring in a property over 200 acres, the most you would be allowed for would be 10 acres of residential use. And on those acres, you're allowed to put up to 3 homes on those acres, including any existing homes. When the law was first passed in 91, that requirement for the homes had to be for farm relatives or farm help only. That soon became a nightmare. People got divorced. Then you had people living on the farm and no longer related. So that part of the law was struck several years ago. And now there's no restriction as to who can live on those houses, if you wish. It's a two-phase program. First phase is called an ag district, and that's for 10 years. Second phase is an ag easement, and that's permanent. And I'll talk about those now. The ag district, again, landowners enroll for 10 years. No development during that time. Landowner receives no financial compensation at that time. And then the property, at the end of those 10 years, if they've not sold an easement, and if they have not indicated they wish to withdraw from the 10-year program, then it enrolls in 5-year increments after the 10 years. There's not a whole lot of benefits to phase one, quite frankly. There is some protection regarding right to farm, which I believe Sussex County also has already adopted anyway. Not all the other counties have. But basically, folks typically get in an ag district because they want to get into phase two, which is selling an easement. And again, this is a permanent easement. There is one way to terminate it, which I'll talk about there at the bottom of the slide. But for all intents and purposes, it is permanent. How do we select who gets an easement, who gets purchased for an easement? It is based solely on discount. So basically what happens is we appraise each property at its full market value, what it's worth today if you were to sell it on the open market. We appraise it for its agricultural-only value. The difference between those two numbers is the value of the development rights. And then our attorney will meet with each of the people who have been appraised and say, okay, and as my example there, your development rights are appraised at $500,000. How much less than that are you willing to take and still sell your development rights? In this example, the landowner may say, I'll take $200,000. So that he or she is giving a 60% discount. They're giving up $300,000 out of the $500,000 in this example. Then how do we select who gets purchased, whose easement gets purchased? We arrange those from the highest discount rate percentage to the lowest. And we start at the top, and we run out of money. That's where we stop. It's based solely on discount.
Question?
Yes, sir.
How is the ag-only value determined? Is that a constant?
It is based, and it's not a constant. It changes from year to year. It's based on average land rent values for cropland. And then we amortize that with a long-term T-bond rate, which is typically around 3%. Typically these values run between $1,300 to maybe $1,800 or $1,900 an acre, typically is what the ag-only value comes in.
You said they change from year to year, but on any given year, is the entire bundle of properties assessed at the same value?
Correct. Yeah, we have one appraiser do all the properties using the same process. We typically appraise about 100 properties a year. on average.
And so this year, for instance, every property may have a $1,600 ag value.
Right. Okay. And that value does change a little bit based on soil type and, again, the land rent, and also if they have forest land or not.
Oh, okay.
So we also, because we also look at average timber prices for the past 5 years, and we use that to gauge the value of the timber rights.
So on a given year, that value is different.
Yeah, it'll vary, not a huge amount, but it'll vary a bit from year to year. I would say typically no more than, say, 10%.
Not year to year, but farm to farm.
No. Oh, farm to farm will vary a little bit, yes, depending on what their cropland and woodland mixture is and their soil type. So then we basically, like I said, start the highest discount percentage and work down till we run out of funding. As I mentioned, there is a termination clause for ag preservation easements, and that is discussed there at the bottom. At least 25 years after an easement is sold, if a family believes they can no longer farm the property because it's developed all around them, you know, they no longer have access to markets, that sort of thing, they can petition to the Ag Lands Preservation Board to buy back their development rights at that current value. Not what they got 25 years ago, but what the value is at that date. Yes, sir.
Would the value be because of location? Would it just be for its ag land value, or would it be for its development potential?
It would be its development value.
Right. So the current, the actual market value,
yeah,
of that land.
Which, in theory, if it's developed all around them, should be much, much higher at that, you know, and plus 25 years or more from now.
Help me understand. This is strictly cropland or forest.
Correct.
Is that right? Not pig farms or chicken farms?
Do have farms that have livestock, yes.
Would
absolutely.
They be included in this?
They would be included in that, too. If they said for some reason they can no longer farm, you know, for whatever reason, maybe the poultry plant closed or whatever, you know, then they could do the same thing, try to petition to buy back their development rights.
Thank you.
And where does that money go that is...
It would go back into farmland preservation.
If the county were to contribute money...
Mm.
On that particular
property,
is it in the law? Is it in written policy that the county gets a prorated amount back as well?
It's not in the law, but again, we have not been in for 25 years yet, so this has not been tested. But in my opinion, we would look at prorating that back to what the county provided.
Now, you don't think when the people, the farmers start screaming because we haven't got to that 25 years, that seems inequitable? That all of a sudden we'll change a new law to make it, to do something different. I mean, that's possible.
Well, certainly possible, typically when laws are passed, they say it doesn't go retroactive to what happened before. Mm-hmm. But again, anything's possible when laws are passed.
I know. I get worried about Dover.
And we are coming up on 25 years, are we not?
Yeah, our first ones were purchased in 1996, so we're at 18 years.
1996? I thought program...
The law passed in 91. We first received funding in 95. And then the first easements were purchased in 96.
Okay. So it's only from the easement purchase date.
Correct, from the easement
purchase
date. Not
the enrollment date.
Not the enrollment date.
Very good.
Can I ask one more question? Are we still, where do we stand as far as other states, as far as farmland preservation? Where does our state?
Again, we typically rank in the top two or three states on a per capita. And again, not actual acres, because obviously we have a lot less acres than bigger states.
Right.
But per capita, we usually rank in the top three as far as money spent mm-hmm. on farmland preservation and actual land preserved mm-hmm. within the state.
Thank you.
Any other questions on this?
Well, I guess I get, something popped in my mind here. When you're establishing these values and purchasing things, development rights and ag values, how do you address wetlands? So if a 200-acre farm is about one-third wet, and do you calculate the 16, say with $1,600 an acre, is it everything?
Right. We appraise the full farm, woodland, cropland, wetland, and then there's also, we will also include wetlands in that appraisal, although keep in mind the full market value of those wetlands acres is much lower because it's not developable. But I do want to make it clear, when we buy an easement on the entire farm, not just the cropland portion or the woodland portion.
Right.
We do the whole shebang.
You buy the whole shebang, but the value established, is it one value for?
There's a value for woodland, a value for cropland, and there's a value
so one
for
farm,
the...
one farm could have three different values.
Correct. Yes, sir.
That's what I was trying to find.
If I understand correctly,
the county would have to establish a buffer if there's a to be a buffer between the farms and the and residences. Is that correct? Say if it is an animal farm, would there be buffers? Because we did have a small one on Route 9. It caused a lot of problems. So I want to know what you know people can expect. I think that's up to us. Is that not?
There's currently zoning ordinances with buffers on certain things. For example, poultry houses, I believe hog barns, other things. But that would not change as a result of this.
It didn't apply to this situation. And so that's what my concern is. I don't want to see that happen again.
Well, I got one more last question.
Farmland is the same thing. It's no buffers. Just that simple.
Farmland to farmland, there's no buffer. Right, no, it's only farmland. Right, we have, a buffer.
There is your 30
we
foot.
We have
you have a 30 foot buffer next to Newt for development.
This was a pig farm, right in the middle of a subdivision. No buffers whatsoever on Route 9.
There is none.
It could have been done before we had the ordinances that.
It was done 2 years ago.
Oh, okay. Question is, when you're establishing these values again, you didn't mention location. So if there's a farm,
that's up to the zone.
After. You know, wants to go back or whatever, or you're appraising it, whatever. Do you take into consideration location? Because obviously, a farm close to coastal Sussex County is more valuable than a Greenwood farm.
Right.
Do you take into
consideration? Yes, and that would be taken into fact by its full market value. So, in that case, the full market value or the top value would be worth more near the beach as it would say in Greenwood. The farm value itself may not change much. But the fair market value would change.
I think, if I understood you right, you're working off the assessment value. That's the whole thing, right?
Appraised value.
Appraised value. Not assessment value.
No. I used the wrong word. I meant appraised value.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
All right, thanks.
Mr. President, can I ask a question?
Certainly.
On the purchase back, that does not have the discounting, so the person would have to buy back at the full rate, not
Correct.
The discounted rate.
Correct.
So if they sold at a 60% discount and they went to purchase, they wanted to buy back that easement, they would have to pay the full rate, not the discounted.
Correct. The full rate. Right? And the rate at that time, not what it was worth 25 or 40 years ago, whatever it was that came in.
So it's a good chance of never getting it back.
Right.
Correct. I mean, very bluntly, it's very, very unlikely any of these would come out.
That's right. Right.
Well, that's the game plan.
Yeah.
That was the goal, right?
Right, exactly. And now, sort of shifting gears, talking about the current situation. This is where we are now. And I won't read every number to you, but basically in ag districts, that's the 10-year program. We have over 172,000 acres, almost 66 of which are in Sussex. Ag easements through round 17, that was the round we announced last year. We have one round each year, typically, of ag land preservation easements. 754 easements statewide, 111,000 acres, total purchase price just under $200 million. In Sussex, 284 easements, 38,000 plus acres, about $76 million. Funding, obviously the bulk of the funding has come from the state, about $139 million. We have gotten quite a bit from the federal USDA Farm and Ranch Land Protection Program, or the acronym is FRPP, you may hear occasionally, about $46 million. We've gotten money from all three counties throughout the years at different times, including Sussex County, about $3 million in past years. Several years ago, long before I was involved, we got money from ICE-T, which is federal highway funds, basically preserving scenic corridors, $1.3 million, and then a smattering of other money, private funds and that sort of thing, about $1.4 million.
So that money can be used to preserve scenic corridors, if
yeah,
I understand.
That ICE-T program
but
was,
no
yes.
No
it's,
longer
no longer, it's no longer functioning. That was back in the Bush administration.
In the
I
old
believe.
Days. Okay, thank you.
Total landowner discount for all those properties is $249 million, almost $250. Again, that's the difference between what the total development value of the farm was and what they received. So, again, they received about $199 million. They gave up, those landowners gave up about $250 million. That's an average discount of about 56%. And then that number has actually gone up recently. In rounds 15 through 17, the average discount was 66%. So again, in my example, if the landowner was, the development rights were valued at $1 million, over the last three rounds, rounds 15 through 17, on average, Those landlords got $340,000. They gave up $660,000. Now, obviously, there's some tax benefits to that. I'm not a tax attorney or a CPA, but certainly those folks probably received some tax benefits for that as well. But that is, and again, based on the discount the landlord has provided on those properties. Briefly, here's a map. You can certainly look at it at your leisure. I think copies there in your packet. The blue are the actual preservation easements. The yellow or tan, whatever you want to call it, are the districts. As you can see, we've had quite a bit of activity, I would say, in northern Sussex. Lesser amounts of activity to date in southern Sussex. And then just a brief review or summary. Again, it's a voluntary program. Two phases. First phase is 10 years. No money changes hands. Second phase is the easement. Selections are based on the discount. About 111,000 acres preserved so far. Of that, about 38,000 plus in Sussex. Average discount, 56% over the 17 years. Total value of those easements, $448 million, of which the landlord received $199 million, roughly, $198, and donated nearly $250 million for funds they did not receive. Again, I want to try to be quick. I realize time is important, but certainly I'll answer any other questions you may have.
Interesting topic. It helps educate us. But on the map you just put up there, I'll go back to that map. Here was... Somewhere back there, with all the blues and let's see where you are.
There we go. Bear with me. Sorry.
I can remember when this all started. The goal was to try to get a large block of lands that were going to be protected, and then there were some complaints after it turned out to be, people wanted to get in that. They went to the scattered sites. So as you see this map, we've not been really able to develop that chunk of land, a agricultural corridor or anything, because of the 3 mile thing. 3 miles in Sussex County is a long way. And I just think it's defeating the purpose to create, one guy doing it, the next guy doing it, the next guy, and just getting that big chunk of ag land and not have that subdivision stuck in the middle. Or something like that. So that has been my only criticism over the years, that when they came in with that, I think it watered it down a little bit, and it's not as effective as it could have been.
I certainly understand your concern, and you're right. When the Grange was actually the organization that first pushed this forward back in the late 80s, early 90s when it got passed, and their goal was to try to establish, as you said, a core, if you will, a protected farmland.
Of some of our best farmlands in Sussex County.
In the state. And I think their original goal was a 200,000 acres of preserved land. Mm-hmm. And I agree, we're at about 111,000 acres. We do have, I would say, some more core areas, like in southwestern Kent County. It's grayed out there, but we have quite a bit of blue up there.
Right.
We have quite a bit of blue, actually, east of Route 1 in Kent County. Mm-hmm. So certainly I agree. And that's also, it's a voluntary program, so we can't make people, sign up. That's not our intent. But I will say this. For the first several years, Kent County seemed to be the driving county as far as where landowners signed up the most property. They had the most land preserved still to date. But over the last 5 years, I can also say that Sussex County has become the one that's enrolling, landowners enrolling more land. Now, will we ever catch up with Kent? I don't know. But, for example, at our most recent foundation meeting last week, I think we approved 12 properties to come into the 10-year program. All 12 were in Sussex. And three of those were over 200 acres. So, is that going to make a difference in the long term? I don't know. But I certainly understand your concern, because you're right. We can preserve all that land just north of Milton there, which we've preserved quite a bit. But, nothing's going to change if someone wants to put a 400-acre development next to it. That's not going to...
Well, and I think the original concern was to protect the farmland from development. Mm-hmm. Development was the bad guy. And as development's pretty much slowed down to a crawl, that's what I'm trying to figure out. How's that affecting the program where there's not the pressure from development now?
I think
especially in Sussex County, right, and especially in the western part of Sussex County, to protect farms, in areas that aren't under any threat of development.
Right. Well, I mean, let me answer two parts of that question. As far as how the lack of development has affected the program, I think, frankly, we see as much now enrolling, particularly, again, in Sussex as we have in years. I think perhaps, again, I'm not an expert as far as why folks sign up and why they don't, but I think in many cases folks may have been looking to develop. It fell through, or, you know, they see that things have changed, and now, sort of for better or worse, we're the only game in town or one of the few games in town where they may be able to get some money out of their land and preserve it, and maybe they turn around and sell it, you know, later. They can certainly still sell that land down the road, just can't be developed. We've had, I would say over the last, and again, this is off the top of my head, but I would say over the last 6 months, we probably have 1 to 2 properties a month come in that were originally slated for development. You know, the deal fell through, the bank says, you know, we want to get any money we can out of this, we're going to sell it, you know, to a local farmer for, in some cases, pennies on the dollar from what it was, but, you know, we want to get rid of this property and get it off of our records.
So you're saying developers who own these tracts?
Developers and or banks, perhaps, have said.
They can also sell their development.
Yeah, or they said, what they'll do is they'll say, okay, I'm going to sell it to, you know, Joe Smith Farmer, you know, and he's going to roll it in farmland preservation. As far as your second question about, you know, sort of Greenwood versus Eastern Sussex, I mean, I certainly agree the development pressure in Greenwood is virtually non-existent. But I think, as folks would say, the goal of the program is to preserve farmland for the future. And who's to say in 50 years from now, Greenwood might not have development pressure? And if we've locked up, in this case, we've locked up quite a bit of land, obviously not all of it, around Greenwood, Bridgeville, you know, if 50 or 100 years from now, you know, development starts picking up there, we've already got land preserved there at a fairly cheap price now compared to what it might be then. But, you know, is it perfect? Certainly not. I mean, it's, right. You know, that's the process.
Thank you.
Is there any opportunity for our money to generate more? There was a program at one time that we were told for every dollar that we put into the program, the state would match it times 3, and the feds would then match that times 2.
Right. I mean, we can certainly, you know, I think if the council were to put money in, you know, this year, next year, whenever, you know, I think certainly we could still provide a 3-to-1 match, you know, 3-to-1 total match, 3 being a combination of state and federal money to the $1 of county money. And obviously that would help us go further down the list. And obviously we put that toward Sussex County properties.
So
it would help us go further down the list of what gets selected.
You're saying our, say, $250,000 would end up actually being $1 million or $750,000?
It would be $250,000 of your money and $750,000 of state and federal money. I want to make sure you understand it's a combination of state and federal money in some cases. Some properties, and I, without getting too far out in the weeds, some properties qualify for federal money, some don't. The federal money has limitations on how much woodland can be on a property. There must be a certain amount of prime soil, what they consider prime soils on the property. Most of our properties meet that, but not all of them. There are also restrictions on the amount of impervious cover. So if you have small properties with a lot of buildings, that's impervious cover. They don't want to fund those. But for the most part, for about every overall, for about every dollar of state money we spend, we get about a dollar of federal money.
So we could, if we contributed $250,000, we could designate that to be applied only to the properties that meet the criteria for the 3-to-1 match.
Yep.
Or we could use it for open space.
I'm sorry, what, ma'am?
We could use that money for open space.
You can certainly do that too.
We have accounts that are designated for farmland preservation. It would probably require an act of this council to modify how that money can be spent. But over the years, we have supported farmland preservation. We have set up programs to kind of surplus share with the Sussex County Land Trust, mm-hmm. which also has farmland preservation as one of their missions in their mission statement. So I'm hopeful that this council could see the wisdom in the program, but we'll just have to wait and see.
I understand. Well, we certainly appreciate the chance to, you know.
In the interest of public disclosure, I'd like to say I'm not a farmer.
I'm shocked to
hear that. Not a farmer.
Shocked to hear that.
That's okay.
Do you have any complaints from the farm community that this money that is received is then creating an imbalance in the marketplace as those farmers compete with other farmers that have not received the funding for, say, the next farm that goes to public auction?
I think you certainly, we certainly hear some of those complaints. I will tell you I don't hear many of those, and maybe I'm not listening to the right folks. You know, I would say, you know, I don't go to every single settlement, but I would say I would divide the group into three categories that receive this money. There's some folks, quite frankly, we hand them a check, and it goes right to Farm Credit or their bank or whatever, and helps to pay down their loans. We had one of those last week. You know, they didn't get a single dollar of it. It all went to pay off their loan. Other folks use that money to reinvest on the farm, maybe buy new equipment, buy irrigations, that sort of thing. And there certainly are a few farmers that have used this money to turn around and buy more land. You know, so I mean, there's a combination of all three.
Well, you could, if you really want to say, the last one is to buy more land, you could say the first one's the same way. Because when you pay Federal Land Bank, that makes you more eligible to borrow more money to buy more land. So number one is covered. Number two is the same way. If you're in debt to Farm Bureau so much, they're going to say, well, we're not going to loan you any more money. But if you give them more money back, that still makes them eligible again to borrow more money. So all three qualifies to buy more land. So not only number three, but that's my opinion. I think all three are qualified to buy more land.
That's fair.
Mm-hmm. And I think there is a concern that there have been developers who have participated and used that money not to develop the farm that is in the program, but to develop the next farm that comes up to auction.
Right. And again, I mean, I can't stand here and tell you we can make people do what they want to do with their money. I mean, they receive those funds. I realize they're public funds, and they do.
It's America.
They're going to do what they want to do.
Are we allowed, and this may be a question for Mr. Moore, are we allowed to look at the number of farms that are being, that are in round 17, for instance, and pick and choose? How about if the next one in line in the discounting hierarchy is a well-known developer? Can we disqualify them and go down to the next one that we feel is a legitimate farmer that's going to use the money to continue to farm?
Right. I mean, our current round is round 18. You know, and I think we did supply a list previously of properties that were, you know, had at least above a minimum discount. And obviously the council, if they chose to move forward, could choose whichever ones they want to choose.
Okay.
I mean, to give you an example, we received $100,000 from Kent County this year. We provide them a list of all the qualifying Kent County properties, and they use their own scoring system, if you will, to pick which ones they want to provide money to.
And that would also include the 3-to-1 match money?
Correct.
Okay. How much did Newcastle County participate?
They have participated $500,000 for the last 3 years, I believe, now. They probably won't participate this year, this round 18, because they're actually looking at doing a couple larger properties next year. But for the last, before round 18, round 17, 16, 15, it was $500,000 each year.
Okay. Has there been any thought given to trying to unite these parcels? As far as geographical location, because we have them right in the middle of a lot of residents, and the farmers are having trouble getting in and out of their farm. It's not easy for them.
Right.
So has there been any thought to that?
Well, I mean, certainly, you know, we do encourage the program and, you know, speak with farmers when we have questions. But, again, it's voluntary, so we can't – the person next door doesn't want to sign up.
So no extra credit if it unites with others into a wide
farm. Right. I mean, it's certainly our goal to make, Councilman Cole was referring to earlier, but again, you know, we encourage it, but again, we can't require them to come in and, you know, participate.
I see a number of farmers in the audience, some that you had mentioned, others that I think maybe just saw it on the agenda. If the president would indulge, could I ask if any of them have anything to say?
Well, if you'd like to have that, then how about the dog bill? I'd like people to talk about the dog bill.
Let's deal with one thing at a time.
Well, that's
this
the
is,
same thing.
Right now, we're going to deal with this issue, and then we'll deal with the dog thing next.
Mm-hmm.
We'll let the president indulge.
We have people here for the dog bill.
That's fine. That's fine.
Any farmers? I guess.
Anyone care to speak? Okay.
I'll speak up, if I may.
Well, if you walk up to please.
Okay, and, come up and say who you are.
My name is Glenn Jones. I farm in the Bethel, Delaware area. I think this program is a good program. I think I would encourage the council to support it. It sounds like the state's willing to match it by two. I think that's a good deal from the state, and the federal's going to match it, too. I think your money goes a long way in that respect. Sussex County is one of its largest businesses, farming, and I think to help protect it is a good issue for the council to take up. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Anybody else? Yes, sir, come forward.
My name is Charles West. I'm a farmer from around Gumber. I think you folks knew that. I think it's a good program. It, like any other volunteer program, it has its obvious flaws. I'm going to state the obvious here for the council, and I've often spoke with members of the council about this. There's some things you guys need to remember. One, when you preserve an acre of farmland, it's not going to need a hospital. It's not going to need a policeman. It's going to need a minimum amount of road, and you'll never have to put a sewer district on it. Those are important things to remember. That's the obvious thing. The other thing I think you need to consider is, what, regardless of whether it's me or anybody else that puts their land in this farmland preservation, it's voluntary, and you're getting a huge discount. You're getting a big bang for your buck. And the last thing is, which is one of my pet peeves, obviously you farmers and you folks, rural folks, I don't have to explain this to you. There's a lot of things that farmland provide this society for free that we take for granted. Food and fiber, the jobs, they're pretty obvious. There's some other things. Groundwater recharge, as we all know, the more impervious surfaces we have, the less groundwater we're going to have. They provide groundwater recharge. They provide water filtration. They also provide carbon sequestration, which is going to be important in the past. So it would be great to have them all in block, but the more we can preserve, I think it'll be a good investment for the future, and that's what we're looking at. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Anybody else? Okay.
Wait, whoop.
Oh, somebody. Looks oh, like sorry.
Looks here like comes senior.
I'm sorry. I didn't see him getting up.
Charlie, how you doing?
Good morning to all you honorable councilmen, and I'm glad that I can come up here to speak about, you look at that map, that map's not true. Hell, they got developments started all over Sussex County. We got enough if we don't ever get another one. And just as soon as they get down here, they're not happy with where they left from, they want to change where they're at. That's the trouble. And I want to thank you, gentlemen, for considering the farmland preservation, because you're the ones can save this county and help preserve it, or you're the ones can finish ruining it. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. West. Anyone else?
I'm Bill Vanderwin. Most of those, or a lot of those blue blocks up there in Northwest Sussex County is some of our properties. We have participated in the program quite much. And I, for instance, it helped me pay off my debt, and it also helped me buy other properties that made our farming operation efficient operation. So in that extent, I think the program has been very beneficial to a lot of people, and especially to Sussex County, too. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Anyone else?
Here comes Mr. Kramer.
Mr. Kramer?
My name is Dan Kramer. I'll tell you what I want to know. I got nothing against the program per se, except I do have some questions on it. But show me a farmer, and I hope this really does happen. I want to see a farmer come down the road someday and say, I can no longer farm because there's development next to me. That's the biggest bunch of bull there ever is, because there's still farmland in Dover. and look at all the traffic, and you get huge machinery going through the town of Dover, and then some farmer's going to come down the pike and say, oh, I can't no longer, and I want to sell now, I want you to buy back to development, right? Hey, let me tell you something. Got one guy right there. Lives on 404. A lot of traffic right there. You can't tell me he can't afford the farm.
Which guy did you point to?
You figured
that. I wasn't watching you.
Anyone else? Care to speak? Okay.
Thank you.
We'll move
appreciate
on.
Appreciate it.
Mr. Lawson.
Good seeing you, Mr. Lawson.